Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello Egg Chasers, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And on this episode, we are only talking about rugby. The thing that brought us, made us want to do a podcast, the thing that made you want to hit subscribe, which we thank you for, that made you want to support us with extra, for extra content at patreon.com/eggchasers, and thank you very much for that. So yes, for all of the off-field shenanigans, it's in our feed, we've talked about it, but let's not do it here. JB and Phil are still around. How are you doing, lads?
Very right? Well. And what did you describe this podcast as, this one?
This is the rugby that's been going on this weekend, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say the Premiership podcast. It's not. It's a domestic rugby podcast.
Domestic rugby podcast. Quite right. Well, in fact, let's start. Seeing as we are genuinely, no one can deny, when it comes to, there's been a lot of attention on the community game. When it comes to advocates and supporters of the community game, there is no podcast that does that job better or bigger than we do.
Nope, no one.
No, very few even attempt it. And that's not a judgment. That's just a fact.
So, I think it is a judgment.
So let's start in the community. Did you have a game this weekend, JB?
Yes, we did, and it was awesome. So we played Lee. So a couple of things you need to know about Lee, but the number one thing you need to know about Lee is they have the best rugby account of any club I've ever played against. So, I say account, Twitter account. You need to follow We Are Lee or UFC. It is very funny. So it was so funny. In fact, the second tweet which I read had me laughing so hard. All right, I've just got to retweet this. It is, and there's actually a tweet about Didsbury from last time that we played, and it is
when they beat you.
Yeah, they beat us.
Oh.
And it's scarily accurate. Scarily. So,
is it about like hummus or something like that? Something.
Find it and read it, mate, because it is.
I love the picture that on the We Are Lee IOC account, the fella in bed with a hungover face.
So I think that should be like their banner picture, and their main picture should be the Lee badge, so people actually follow it thinking it's Lee.
I like that their most recent tweet says, "Greetings to all our new followers who have presumably found their way to our page off the back of Jay Beardmore's tweet. Unfortunately, this account's performance trajectory has followed the same as our first 15, getting shitter and shitter by the week."
Yeah, so they're not in a good place, Lee, which is a shame because they've always been a good club. So I've played a lot against them. Have you played much against Lee?
No, not. I don't even think very much as a kid. Probably a few times as a kid, that's about it.
They used to have some really good players back in the day.
Do they play in black and yellow?
Black and yellow.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't. Going back like 20 years now. And I had a scrum half called Dave Wood who was really good.
Very good under-15s team.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Some good
rugby league lads.
Had the break called I think Kelvin was his name or something like that. And they used to be massively physical and, you know, just a hard team to beat. That's when I first moved up to Manchester. Anyway. So they beat us early on in the season. If they hadn't beat us, we'd be clear on top of the table now by about 5 points. Well, 4 points, because we would have won. No guarantee of a bonus point. They beat us 24-0. It's the first time that we'd lost.
Was that the one that broke the seal?
No,
on your...
it was witness. Now, an important point to note here, right? I did not play that game, and neither did the club captain, Josh, right? Me and Josh also missed witness, which means us two have not lost a league game since 2019.
That's good going, that. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at this We Are Lee account.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh, this is brilliant. Is this the one you retweeted about their scrum half? Oh, my God, this is so funny. So it's a picture of a guy in a massively oversized, terrible suit with awful haircut. And this is obviously the player that they're referring to. And it says, Osh Griffiths. Every other scrum half in the Northern Hemisphere must be unavailable this week, as we somehow have managed to pick the slowest human being alive. Hopefully, he will have total control of his game, like his missus does of his life.
Try to find the Disney
one. All rugby accounts should be like this.
Yeah, you get real. Do you know when England send you those stupid texts, like, do you feel engaged with the players? No, because they've not sent tweets like that. Send tweets like that and I'm all for it.
All right, so October 25th, 2022, Didsbury Tok H tweeted, great numbers again. And it's a picture from your account of the training.
Oh, no, week. That's not
and
the
then,
one.
And then October 30th, 2022, Lee retweeted that one with the question, how did Saturday go, lads?
Oh, no, there is one. And you'll find it and you'll know exactly the one that... Well, what I mean.
Okay, I'll keep looking.
Yeah, so anyway, they beat us. I'm not entirely sure how, because I didn't play. I saw the last 10 minutes of it. So we were well up for it. And then we got there, well, we kicked off. It turned out that, for whatever reason it is, they didn't show up with their first team front row, which is a real shame, because I was looking forward to having a crack at that. But you got to credit the lads for just showing up. So they started with a second team prop and a third team prop.
Oh, really?
And I think the third team prop was like, I probably had enough of this. I'm going to pack it in. But at least he gave it a go.
Yeah.
The easiest thing in the world would be
not to turn up.
Yeah. And they were good. Like, there was some good physical lads there. They had a really good 12 and a very good fullback.
What score did it finish?
Well, it went to uncontested. So they got 7 points at the end, but I think like 45-7 or something.
Mm, good win. Yeah. Tok H march on.
Yep. Yep, so next week it's Aspel, they're going to be good, and then two big ones, LSH, Tarleton. We win those three, we're
big
in
games.
Bloody good shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy win for the boys, 19-0 against a team of hipsters. Credit to them for just entering Lee, which they compared to Beirut. Some naughty clobber worn by the Disby boys, and it's a picture of loads of...
jeans and shoes.
Jeans and shoes. Brilliant. Today is one of my favourite rugby memories ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, go on. So I know what game was played, but I don't know what... So go on to
Lancashire more. Cup quarter-final. Rafi Quirk's Broughton Park under 15s. Because we finished second in our pool, so we had to play one of the... winners of the pool, and Vale of Loon won all their games in their pool. Mm-hmm. We were away at Vale of Loon. 13-all the game finished.
Wow. Hang on, so how does that work in a cup format?
Wow. So 13-all. I'm amazed we managed to get to 13-all, because the penalty count at the end of this one, and some would say that it was very much a home ref. I wouldn't say that. Some would say that. But the penalty count was 17-2.
Wow.
Which...
Your dirty, dirty...
Why are you coaching them, Tim?
Boys?
Well, it seemed like it was incredible. When they jackled for a penalty, they only had to... They were obviously so quick that the penalty was given within a second. When our guys jackled, they obviously didn't do it well enough because the ref would let them... Anyway, it doesn't matter. 13-all. 13-all. The most tense that I've felt since I was about the same age. Watching the lads and with two tries apiece, but all conversions were from the touchline, so none were got. One penalty apiece, so it was equal on tries, conversions equal on score. Away team goes through.
Ooh. Away team goes through. Brilliant.
Wow,
well done.
So the loveliest moment was, so my son Louis was playing, and
what position?
Blindside flanker.
Good.
Mm. So went onto the pitch afterwards, and I just went to shake the ref's hand, and I just got like jumped on by Louis, and I just had this, and he was fighting back tears, and it was and so I was just like hugging my son, who was fighting back tears, because it was just a tense emotional game, and then I was looking at the lads just there all celebrating, and they were all like fighting back tears, and a couple of them
hope
were crying.
Hope you bollocked them for this. Yeah.
And it was just. I just thought this is... I remember thinking at the time, I was sort of like hugging my son, looking at the lads, just never seen them so happy or excited. And I just remember, it's one of those times, you've ever had it where you sort of, as something's happening, you're thinking, oh, this is a memory I'm going to remember. This is like, this is really special. I was just sort of thinking, this is really special, this is really special. It was like, rugby's amazing. Vale Alune, brilliant club.
It is, isn't it?
Great We've club.
Great club.
Good, good bunch of lads.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're in the top four in Lancashire.
Do you know who you're going to play?
We don't know who yet, but I know it's either, so the semi-finalists are Broughton Park, Raffy Quirk's Broughton Park, Fylde.
Always Fylde. A good club. Oof. Always a tough place to go.
Preston Grasshoppers.
Okay.
Another good club.
And Lee.
Lee?
Really? That is interesting. So the first two you'd expect.
Yes.
Because they're sort of like...
Unquestionable.
Perennial.
Yeah, perennial. They're sort of... They're out on their own.
They're big clubs.
Yeah, if you're a parent in the like the Blackpool area, you're probably not going to Fleetwood. You're probably going to go to Fylde if your kid's good. That sort of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Preston. Like, nobody's really going anywhere other than Preston. And it's just a big club which can facilitate that kind of thing.
Yeah, big draw. Well set up as well with pitches, training pitches, facilities.
Those are going to be belters of games.
Yeah.
You know, Fylde feeding all of their boys into DPP, no doubt. Mm. Yeah, that's going to be...
So we're hoping for a home semi-final and then just have a big old shindig at the club. Mm. So it's great. It's the first Broughton Park team that's got anywhere near... gone this far in the Lancashire Cup for years and years and years, maybe ever.
I hope you got them in and told them that this isn't their cup final, to pull themselves together. You know, next job, be there at training.
Go take each week because it comes.
Yeah. We're going to beast them on Wednesday. We're going to beast them.
You want to do the Sir Alex Ferguson thing is when they won 3-0, he absolutely leathers them. Absolutely leathers them for all the mistakes that they made. And when they lose, not so much.
And friend of the pod, Kirk.
Oh yeah, Kirk Collis.
He says, Tim, if you're talking community rugby, a shout out to Clifton under-15s who won their semi-final against Canesham, who also deserve a shout to go into the Bristol Junior Combination Cup final. So,
ooh,
well done.
Well done to Clifton. He suggested that maybe, you know, if Broughton Park go all the way, we have like a West of England Super Bowl.
Wow,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's going to be West of England.
Birmingham. Has to be in Birmingham between Manchester and Bristol.
Nice. Yeah.
Anyway, do you any rugby in your weekend, Phil?
No, didn't watch anything other than the games on TV. But I did notice that Sedgley had a good win against Bladen, 75-0, which is actually sad to see. Because Bladen,
Feed a team for Newcastle.
Yeah, I remember playing them in the league above where they currently are, and it looks like they're going to get relegated from.
I never played there, but I did when I did. I pulled off the motorway going up to Newcastle a few weeks ago and just to go to a little supermarket, and I accidentally drove past Bladen Rugby Club. I was like, that looks like a nice club.
Do you want to know my story about Bladen Rugby Club? Sorry,
was this when you were up in Richmond?
Nope, nothing to Richmond.
Go on.
Stag do. I was on a stag do. I'm not going to lie, it was rubbish. So we're driving to paintballing. I hate paintballing. I hate even the notion of paintballing.
I've never done it.
Sometimes it's alright.
I've not done it since I was a kid, but like, it's quite good fun.
I'm hungover, and the idea of going paintballing, like, I want to go drinking, I want to do something fun. And we drive past Bladen Rugby Club. I was like, boys, just stop the car. So he stopped the car. I got out, and they're like, where are you going? I said, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Walked into Bladen. It's about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I went straight to changing rooms. Boys, is there any way I can play for a second team or third team? And they went, yeah, the third team are playing at concert and we're missing a 12. I was like, get in. So then ran back to the car. I was like, boys, come back for me at about 4 o'clock. And I'll see you then. So I played 12 against concert. I scored a try against a guy called Jerry. And they all, Jerry's going to be a great player. Nah, not in my league. So scored a couple of tries and that was that. Then, unsurprisingly, my mates who I abandoned for the stag do didn't come back for me.
Oh, did they not?
Well,
oh,
no. Okay. I mean, would you come?
No. I was being sarcastic.
You're on your own bit more.
So one of the blokes from Bladen drove me into town. So, great club all round. Love Bladen.
Great club. But not a match for Sedge.
Struggling at the moment. And it's interesting, looking at... I've got it in front of me now, National League 2 North. So Fylde won again. They beat Rotherham. Fylde are currently top of the league, even though Sedgley are unbeaten.
Is that right?
Because they've played one more game, so Sedge have a game in hand, but Fylde do have more bonus points. They got two more bonus points than Sedgley. So Sedge still have to play Fylde, which is going to basically be...
they've beaten them once already this season.
Once, that's the league decider, effectively.
Of course, Marlow beat the...
I was going to say, my boys, they won again.
Beat the Codebreakers. I imagine that's what they're called, right?
Yeah. And how did Aylesbury... And I just want to mark our territory a little bit. Paul Millam of Aylesbury Rugby Club was friends with this pod first. But...
So, a bit of background there. Who do you think that set that up?
Oh, did you set up GBR with...
Yeah.
Paul and Aylesbury.
They're like, who is good in the community game who knows stuff? It's like, Aylesbury.
So there you go. Even the podcasts who do take an interest in the community game, they come to us to find out where they come to us for the shortcuts on where they should go in the community
game. But just before we get 0-2 over our skis here, huge shout out to Mike Tindall, who is doing exactly the work that they should be. So, GBR, the best of the rest when it comes to the grassroots podcasts.
Yeah, 100%.
He put his case forward so well. And I wish that everyone in the rugby media would do what James Haskell wasn't even there. Don't know why it wasn't. What Mike Tindall did. Because, you know, it just shows, doesn't it? When you care about something, you put your best foot forward. And when you don't, you'll sit on the fence and just see what comes out in the wash. And eventually you might say something, you might not. You know, I don't appreciate the guys with the platform who are keeping the council. You know, you're either for it or you're against it. But at least let us know, you know, so when we're making lists later about who to exclude and whatnot, you know, you can be honest about it.
London Irish have those orcs coming out the ground in Lord of the Rings. London Irish have pulled out another back three superstar.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
Michael Dykes.
Dykesy.
I was going to look him up before the podcast. Do you know anything about him?
Did anyone know anything about him before today?
Well, he plays on the wing for London Irish, so he must be dynamite. So he'll either go to Leicester or Bath on a massive contract.
Yeah, yeah. Or Parton's going to Saracens, isn't he?
Parton's going to Saracens. Ollie Hassel-Collins is going to Leicester.
Yeah. Loader's staying.
Loader, I think, might be the most talented of lot, actually. Although... a lot of people think OHC is going to be absolute dynamite with some proper coaching.
Yeah, well, just in the international game, big, quick.
Yeah, he finishes brilliantly.
Why is he different to Ollie Thorley?
Less injury prone.
Maybe he doesn't play quite as hard. I mean, Ollie Thorley bangs. He's very similar.
He is similar. I'd say Thorley is probably at his best in broken field when he's popping up he quite often pops up in midfield.
Actually,
OHC can do that and does get on the seam with those little forward pods. He's quite often out the back of those.
Nice and drifty, isn't he?
He actually does his best when he just hugs the touchline. And Irish, you see it with all their back three players, whoever it is, and Dykesy is included in that now.
Dykesy!
They just hug the touchline. They stay on it and keep the width. And then when they get a chance. Dykesy, born in 2002, so he's 21.
Mm.
90 kegs, 182 centimetres, which is what, about 5'10", 6 foot?
So 6 foot is 183, so you're 5'11 and a half.
And he grew up playing for Maidenhead Rugby Club.
Oh, bloody hell. So who's director of rugby there for the ladies?
Steve Jones. Most famous former player?
Is it Will Greenwood?
Oh, no, Matt Dawson was Marlow. I thought Matt Dawson was was Matt Dawson Maidenhead? Will Greenwood, I think, might actually coach there now.
Yeah,
Greenwood's definitely
been involved. 100%.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, do you know who Bladen's most famous son is? Well, one of.
Alan Tate.
Play for Wales.
Ooh.
Play for Saracens.
Huh? Tompkins?
Nope. Wales, Saracens, Scarlets.
Wales,
Mates with your brother.
Hmm.
Wales, Saracens, Scarlets. Saracens and Wales, Scarlets.
Saracens,
you want another club?
Scarlets.
Irish. Newcastle.
Huh?
He's also a trained accountant.
Oh, wow. What?
Is he still is he currently playing?
Nope.
Wales, Scarlets. I'm trying to think.
So it's Bladen.
Who did my brother play with? It's a Wales international.
Bladen, Newcastle, Scarlets... Irish Saracens. And we met him in
New York.
Or maybe we didn't. He was there.
Bladen, Newcastle, Saracens, Scarlets. Or Irish.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's got a lot of tries for Scarlets. A lot. Oh, just think about what his Wales caps. maybe he didn't get a Wales cap. Maybe he didn't actually.
So you're rowing back on one of the
he might
the
have
first
had a
clues.
Cap in like USA or something.
Oh. I am totally lost.
How do you know so little about rugby between the two of you? And Andy Femby.
Oh, Andy Femby.
There you go.
Fenders. He didn't get a Wales cap, did he?
I think he might.
He may
sure,
have done.
I'm
may,
sure he
I mean,
went.
There were some ridiculous players' caps.
Yeah, I'm sure he went to Scotland just for a Wales cap.
He what we did see in USA.
We did?
We did see him in
right,
USA.
There we go.
Yeah. He does not have a Wales cap. Chartered, he is a chartered accountant. Llandudno.
That's right.
Listed first club. Bladen, Falcons, Scarlets, Irish, Saracens.
There you go. I know my stuff.
So,
except for the Welsh cup bit.
Dykes, you don't need to worry about all these players leaving anyway. Oh, sorry, Irish don't need to worry because they've got Dykesy! Tearing it up with a hat-trick and a convincing win that the complexion of the Premiership table has shifted.
Right, so let's just talk about the Premiership a second, right? I've had some thoughts on the Premiership, which is, broadly speaking, this. It shows that, well, I don't think I don't think the highest quality of rugby is the Premiership anymore.
No.
In fact, I think it's dramatically decreased. So, I want to say that the overall power of the Premiership dramatically decreased.
So, I think it has both decreased and we've not seen the full extent of of how much it's going to decrease by. Because, like, if you just listed the players who are leaving to go to Pastures New France next season, there's a massive drop in talent. There's going to be a huge drop in talent. Now, it does create opportunities, but I think the quality will continue to atrophy until the salary cap is
because
rectified.
The Exeter departures, for example, are so significant that you're wondering, is this just part of the natural churn because of the salary cap and all the rest of it, or is this actually a managed decrease in what they're spending because there's extra costs elsewhere?
Mm. Yeah,
especially, I don't know because obviously Newcastle are well under the cap,
and you know Exeter brought in Mike Williams. Now, with the best respect in the world, Mike Williams is not going to replace those players which have gone. I mean, if that's the quality of player that you're bringing in, I mean that might just be like
Ross Moriarty's in a bit of a Exeter want him. So do Saints.
Do they?
So that would probably be a replacement for a Ewers or
Carl Ferns would be a good replacement for a Ewers. I mean, like seriously, he would.
Mm.
You know, there's all sorts of. Well, there's all sorts of options. So the Premiership, the overall quality of player and the size of player must be decreasing, which is why we're seeing limited success in Europe. But it also shows that the teams are so, so competitive against each other. I mean, to the point now that almost everything's a coin toss.
Leicester are now eighth.
Yeah.
And Harlequins are sixth all of a sudden, and Irish are 1 point behind Quins and 2 points off the playoffs.
And Exeter are up to third after being down in seventh or eighth. But you've got 4 points separating third and eighth.
Yeah.
So a couple of wins and anyone is in the top four.
It's amazing.
Apart from Falcons, Bath and Bristol.
Well, yeah, and even Bath, like, we can talk about their game a little bit more, but they're down there in tenth. They're a good team, and Johan van Graan has done a good job this season.
He's doing okay.
No, I think he's done a good job.
Well, I mean,
so you
where
can't.
Are
you, you, they're tenth.
How many wins?
Four. Mm. Eight defeats. You cannot.
I mean, he's done better than Stuart Hooper. I'll give him that.
You cannot change everything all at once.
No, you can't.
And I think he's prioritised. Right, we need to get the defence sorted, and we need to make ourselves hard to beat. And they have absolutely done that. They're not scoring enough tries, but. They've built a solid foundation, and five defeats they've had in their last nine games. They've won four, lost five, all five by 6 points or fewer.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is very much what I value, which is staying in the fight. So as long as you're in the fight at the end, you know, it can go either way. So those, you know, if you turn half of those defeats into wins, they are looking good.
Bath last year lost at least two games by 60 points.
Yeah, it is night and day compared
to last
season.
But I mean,
this game was good. Obviously, you were there, Tim.
Yeah.
This game, after half an hour, when Sale have got the bonus point, I thought this was over already.
22-3 up.
Yeah, I thought it was done and dusted. And for Bath to come back, obviously that Annett try just before half-time, if they don't score that, I don't think they come back into it. But we've actually seen this before where they do come, they've had a few points scored against them early on,
yep.
and then they've it shows a sign of resilience that they've come back into it. And arguably they should have won this game.
Yeah, they should.
I would just say on the Premiership, I mean, losing narrowly isn't really an excuse in the Prem. So the Prem is all about winning. That sounds like a ridiculous thing.
Professional sport is all about winning.
Yeah, but like you can, because everything's so narrow, you can get a competitive team and you can narrowly lose every single game and think you're doing okay. That's why I think, despite the Premiership teams being down on power and not being able to compete in Europe, I still think they're probably the best coached in Europe. I think they're phenomenally well coached. I think this is going to continue, because imagine how bad the Premiership would be now without a salary cap. It'd be absolutely horrendous.
Well, you'd have a couple of clubs spending loads.
Yeah.
And then a few clubs spending nothing, like absolutely nothing. And then a lot in the middle kind of doing halfway house.
Yeah.
I mean, bringing a couple of superstars, but not particularly intelligently. And that would be that.
And I'll tell you another development this week, which will sort of go into the category of news. Christian Day has been made is it General Secretary or something ridiculous of... Or CEO, super CEO of the Players' Union?
Of the RPA.
He's
the boy.
He is the boy in the RPA. And the first thing he said is he wants the players to have a minimum salary. I think this is a brilliant idea. I mean, I'm so in favour of this. I don't know what a minimum salary would be, but I think I'd set it about 80 grand. I don't think you should be setting foot on a Premiership field unless you're on 80 grand.
So you currently do have one. Am I right in? Because there's anything below 40k is an academy contract.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So there's already effectively one, although that does mean you've got players full time pro senior contracts on 42k.
Yeah. I heard of a player this week, right? 32, can play both sides of the scrum, and is an international who's offered 40k to stay at a Premiership club.
Now,
40k.
So that is. That's ridiculous. Some of that is a consequence of the salary cap biting, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Because clubs don't like... look at Bristol trying to jettison Dan Thomas in order for a shot of getting one of the Willis boys. Just to create, like... They probably created, like, I don't know, 80 grand a cap room by loaning him out for a few weeks. And yeah. as soon as they couldn't get them... He just comes back into the squad. So they can only pay because they've signed up. They can only pay what they had left, which would be tiny.
Mm-hmm. Some of these wages now are becoming a bit of a joke. So 80k would be my absolute minimum. Now, you can have people in the squad for less than 80k, but anyone in your squad less than 80k cannot play a Premiership game. So you know, you've got an academy lad and you think he might be good next year. You can't just hoard him. And worse... If anyone else comes in with an offer for him, you have to let them go immediately. There's no time.
If they're on less than that.
Yeah. If you're between 80 to 120, anyone can steal you at the end of the season. And after 120, you belong to the club.
I'd maybe put a caveat in there. It's a little bit like you have the staged minimum payments, minimum wage for a 16-year-old versus an 18-year-old. You could say once you hit, I don't know, I'm just making it up. Once you hit 21, then it has to be 80k, but between 18 and 21, it's 60k, something like that.
Yeah, so you get young kids get a shot.
So you incentivise them to get a shot.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. But I think they're going to be incentivised to get a shot anyway.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, there will be a lot of players. There's be a lot of players for Exeter who are getting a shot over the next couple of years.
Yeah. I'd love to know what the plan is. I'd love to know the thinking.
They might just...
They'll have looking, a plan.
Yeah, they might genuinely be looking at all the guys behind Chris Tishunza and Daffy Jenkins and the boys that were already coming through and thinking, why do I need to pay 300k for a guy? I'm just going to... A couple of years for these boys and we'll be laughing.
Yeah.
It might be a lot more serious and concerning than that, but it might be that they genuinely believe in the talent that they've got.
Yeah, well, look, if... London Irish at the start of the day today were what, second worst team in the Premiership.
Yeah,
it's a pretty competitive league.
Yeah,
competitive, and we really appreciate that element. But I think you're right; the quality is not.
But there again, like,
but it's great to watch.
You're starting to see lads like Tom Pearson. Tom Pearson,
I love him.
Yeah, Pearson.
Is it a seven? Was that the fullback?
Yeah,
Tom Pearson.
Tom Pearson is massive.
Is he the English Sean O'Brien?
Yeah.
He just is, isn't he? He's an absolute wrecking machine.
We'll have to ask him where he goes to the loo when he's out on a night.
Good shout.
To make that decision fully.
I was thinking, like, England don't need this kid. I think they probably do.
Well, if he was playing for other nations, people would have him.
And is it Chandler West, who they started at eight?
Chandler
Cunningham South. They're double barrels.
He's a Kiwi, isn't he?
Yeah, Kiwi.
Oh, is he?
But he's young. He's young though.
Yeah,
he's a Kiwi.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Chandler Cunningham South. Yeah. What do I call him? Chandler West.
Chandler Cunningham South.
same thing.
They do like their double barrel names.
I'm gutted by that. I thought he was like the next new find from the London Irish Academy.
Grew up in New Zealand.
Is he EQP?
Joined the London Irish Academy in 22.
Is he EQP?
Don't know. He probably will be.
Big strong boy.
Can play a bit. Plays on the edge.
He's a baller. Mm.
Like him.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. Trying to find his...
Well, that means that they can bring lads like Gonzalez off the bench and Arundel off the bench. I mean, that's lethal. That's absolutely lethal.
Here we go. Article from the Telegraph. Today, 29th of January 2023 at 5:48 by Charles Richardson. Chandler Cunningham South is giving Steve Borthwick food for thought ahead of England coach naming his first 15 on Thursday. Irish flanks only 19. Named in the England under 20 squad for the Six Nations. There you go.
Mm.
There you go. EQP, 100%.
Yeah.
The Irish skipper, Matt Rogerson, he's Vail Alone.
Is he?
Today. Yeah. I was chatting to the guys in the clubhouse. He's a Vail Alone lad.
I did know that.
Even his dad owns the field adjacent to the first 15 rugby pitch, which the club rent from him as their second pitch.
There we go.
Really?
Properly involved.
Yeah.
Interesting. So do you know if he went to Lancaster Grammar?
No idea. They had some good... They had some good rugby players there. You were like, yeah, you're Kirkham or Lancaster Grammar.
Or something. All over. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are looking... I mean, if Irish can beat anyone on their day. They're such a strange team.
Or draw with anyone on their day.
They can draw with anyone. They can do a high-scoring draw with anyone they want. We've got a few weeks off from the Premiership. Irish could make playoffs. It's genuinely exciting when you look at that league table. And I honestly think the home fixtures are going to be massive. I mentioned this a few weeks ago.
Well, who's got the most home fixtures? Do you know?
Gloucester.
Wrong.
Hmm?
Oh, no, maybe right.
Leicester. Leicester have got out of their remaining games, I think five out of their six remaining games are...
Yep.
Or something like that, or five out of seven are home games.
So Tigers are going to be frightening coming in the season.
Did either of you watch the Leicester game?
Yes, I watched the first half of it.
So the first half I thought the whole game was interesting. The first, say, 30...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Minutes, I thought... There is no way in hell that Northampton are going to win this game.
I agree.
They were getting absolutely steamrolled. Leicester in defence were smashing them back time after time, and Leicester in attack were making yards time after time. And Northampton just seemed to absorb it all and then just get their wider game going and get their kicking game going a little bit better. I think they were very good value for it, particularly considering how much pressure they had.
Was it like the last 10 minutes that they scored two tries?
There was a slight home try with, probably about 15 minutes ago, maybe.
Slight home was on 49 minutes.
Try.
And before that, Furbank scored. Oh, that was a penalty.
Penalties. Yeah, so it was only the slight home try, wasn't it?
It was all Furbank penalties. Slight home was their only try.
And there was the two Harry Potter tries for Leicester.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was very impressed that Northampton, the Saints, found a way to win despite going backwards at a rate of knots frequently in the tight quarters combat.
The second Harry Potter try, because I didn't see this, where on the pitch was it? I've just noticed in his final game before he's off to Japan, Freddie Burns missed a conversion. I'm hoping that was a hard kick, because anyway. He has signed off a Leicester legend, that's all that matters.
First one was in the left corner. Second one was as well.
Yeah, so there we go. Fine.
Far out.
Couldn't have been expected to, that's fine. But no, he signed off a Leicester ledge.
Yeah.
They've done remarkably well with their signings, Leicester. Mm. Remarkably well. So, I mean, not all of it was planned, I guess. So to end up with Charlie Atkinson fills a huge hole because they've got their number one guy now in Pollard. Mm-hmm. And he looks much better than I thought he was going to look.
There's some good and some bad with Pollard. So some of his defence was very, very good. He made a tackle, covering tackle on Augustus that was excellent when he was rampaging. Some of his kicking was really good as well. There was a cross field after 5 minutes for Potter.
Yep,
that was awesome. The one with the James Ram high shot. Some of his passing still, his like basic stuff, which is obvious for a 10, is exactly as you'd want it to, basic, but like solid.
Yeah,
some of his wider distribution when he looks to look pick the option and spread it wide. Is it worth what Montpellier were paying him?
Yeah, he's a very highly polished Rob Dupree.
Yes.
I mean, there is a lot of...
Well, Rob Dupree is the best player in the world at the moment, best 10 in the world.
Rob Dupree didn't... It was a shame, because it was his night. It was his 100th appearance for Sale.
He did some great things.
Best fly half in the league. He did some great things.
No, so Rob Dupree...
He didn't have a great game.
Rob Dupree will always find a way.
How many kicks did he miss?
He did not have a great game. Yeah, he missed
three conversions.
Three conversions.
And at least one penalty... Yeah. Late on, maybe two penalties.
They're all very similar. I mean, it's very rare to find a fly half that just has the blinkers on when he comes to try line. But Pollard does that. He just blinkers on. I'm crashing over. The amount of crash over tries he's got.
Yeah.
Second only to Rob Dupree, probably. Right. It's exactly the same. Like
second only to Butch James.
Yeah, Butch James, Rob Dupree, Pollard. I mean, they're all sort of versions of the same thing. Pollard probably been the most the best of the lot.
Yeah,
he's the ultimate expression of what a South African 10 should be, I think. Rob Dupree always, no matter how well he plays, always finds a way to remind you he is Rob Dupree. There'll be just these little glimpses somewhere.
In this game as well, I did, other than his yellow card high shot early on, I thought James Rand had a really good game. Mm. It's one of the first times I've seen him and thought, yeah, he is a baller. I've not seen much of him until now.
It was strange enough, one of the few games I've seen of Super Rugby involved him. I thought, he's really good.
Mm.
That was a while ago. I've not seen him do that well for the Saints.
He had some lovely touches, made good yards, and that the way he drew in two players and offloaded for the only try, the slight home try, that was awesome. Because I actually thought, he's blown it, like just give it slight home because slight home's rapid. But no, he created the room for slight home to do
it. To beat Leicester at Leicester in an East Midlands derby, when Leicester don't have the excuse, yes, they're missing some players, there's no question, but...
They are,
They've got their best player on the field.
Montoya and Visa, they had those two guys.
Did you see the controversy with Visa?
I've seen the Carl Ferns tweet with a twist of the ankle.
Yeah, you've got to watch it a few times. But the contention is Visa is trying to snap or bend
Waller's.
The ankle of Waller.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I agree, to be honest. And I think that there is a little bit of... Well, so the contention is, in Premiership circles, that Visa is a bit of a dirty player. So...
I think there's evidence to support that. I don't think this individual incident is the best evidence of anything, really.
No, I don't think it is, because I'm watching him. And, you know, look, I've done a tiny bit of grappling in the past.
You won some medals.
I dabbled. And, like, you know, if you want to really snap an ankle, you don't do it like that. Like, it looks to me as if he's just holding on to his leg to be a nuisance.
I think there was a bit of a twist, but it's not the best evidence for anything. That
no, I don't think it is. It's certainly not conclusive, and I think there is a certain, because I think he was involved with John Welsh injury when John Welsh came back short term for Newcastle. He got injured, I think, with an incident visa, or at least that is what was alleged. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's not particularly well liked. So you know, Luther Burrell pitched in on that as well. A few others did.
Big Carl Ferns.
Big Carl Ferns did, but it's not conclusive to me.
Yeah, that one isn't.
No, he could just be holding on to him to keep him from going. Yeah, some people do that, a bit of gamesmanship to hold on.
You always get it, don't you?
Yeah,
but it doesn't look great. But I think that's all he's doing is holding on. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah, it's basically the same. I can't see enough evidence of a twist.
Mm. So yeah, good result for Saints, which puts them into fourth place.
Just one last thing. You know, Saints Leicester have signed Kyle Hatherall this week.
Yes, who I like.
Yes, he
is a big, strong boy.
For Worcester.
Didn't he go off to La Rochelle?
He did. He had him for the rest of the season.
Big, strong boy.
Leicester signed him before he went to La Rochelle.
Mm.
They just announced him.
They love big, strong boys at Leicester, don't
they? So, I wonder if Issa's off, actually.
There's a bit of commentary I've... what was I watching? I can't remember where I found it. It was a... I'll have to find this. It was a bit of commentary of Ollie Hassel Collins. That's right, because I was putting some bits together for a little video, and Ollie Hassel Collins, and the commentator says, he's brilliant. He goes, Ollie Hassel Collins, oh, he is a big, strong, and then there's a pause. He goes, lad, young lad. It's like no. He calls him a big. Oh, he's a big, strong. Young lad. I can't say big strong boy.
He couldn't afford the royalties.
Yeah, nope. Exactly.
Send him the bill.
I saw a Premiership player in the flesh this weekend.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Was it a Sale player?
It was a Sale player.
Ooh, okay.
Shall I tell you where it was?
Yeah.
You're in Ultra Market.
Not in Ultra Market.
If you were at Costco, it would have been Cooney Oosthuizen, because I saw him getting turned away from there recently.
Turned away? Because he's not got the card.
He didn't know his card.
Not at Costco, but not a million miles away. I was, yesterday afternoon, I was buying some stuff to treat my parquet floor, my Mahuhu parquet floor that has been laid
in
the loft. It's not all down. There's a sequencing issue. But in the main room in the loft, it is down.
Good.
So I was in B&Q near the Trafford Centre.
Okay.
About half in between the two games.
So this was on Saturday.
On Saturday. Yeah.
Right. So
I can tell you what they were buying.
Yeah. Tell us what they were buying.
I was on the phone, and they just walked past me, and I did a double take, and I was like, "What are they?" Because they were just checking out. What is that individual buying? Oh, they bought carpet grips.
Okay.
And
okay.
A big roll of fake grass, artificial turf, which I'm not the biggest fan of artificial turf.
So does that mean they're putting fake grass in the house?
They might be, yes.
No, surely you've got...
So I'm thinking they've got
an indoor-outdoor area. It might be like a decking area that they're putting some on.
So it's disappointing that, because there's not really enough information that...
No, because what I started thinking was maybe they're doing it for his kid's bedroom, who loves rugby, and he's just going to...
It could be.
Yeah, but it'd be easier, wouldn't it, if it's like, yeah, so he was buying shotgun cartridges and a barbecue and tools to wrangle a lion. Yeah, it's John O'Ross, right? So but it's not quite that straightforward.
Would it be someone that we would recognise but a casual rugby fan wouldn't recognise?
Yes, no one else.
Okay. Gus Moore.
No one else battered an eyelid.
Tommy Taylor?
No.
Okay. Tom Roebuck?
No.
No, he wouldn't be doing that. So it's going to be one of the older lads, I reckon.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the younger lads will live in a rented house. Probably.
Yeah, all with the mum and dad still.
Josh Beaumont?
No, not Beaumont. Beaumont didn't used to go to Virgin Active in Didsbury.
Where were you, Sale?
No, in Trafford Centre. Not like a stone's throw from the AJ Bell.
Yeah, so it's got to be someone... Worsley or Sale, not going to be one of the boys that lives in Didsbury or
in town.
Or town.
Yeah, because if you're in Didsbury, you go to the Stockport branch.
And we all know that Sam James is the king of Wilmslow, so why would he leave?
Yes, precisely.
I give up.
No, I don't give up. Were they involved on Friday night?
They were.
Okay.
Oh, Ryan Mills.
Not Ryan Mills.
No, okay, hold on.
Rob Dupree.
Rob Dupree.
Was it?
Yes.
It was, yeah.
Carpet grip and fake grass.
And it was like very dark fake grass, yeah.
Interesting.
Don't know where he's putting that, but...
Somewhere for Jean-Luc and Dan to do a bit of wrestling when they come round.
Probably, yeah.
Practices kicking in the lounge. All sorts of things.
There you go.
Excellent segue. Well done.
Other interesting things from Friday night. So two bits I wanted to mention. One, that last try, which was a fantastic... I thought Carpenter did brilliantly to create the room. But it was a Joma, wasn't it? Your boy, JB, putting the big hit on...
Massive hit
on Dupree. Rob Dupree. Dupree was thinking about his fake grass too much. I actually think... That was an amazing hit. Beautiful read. He stepped in. I think that is actually the reason for the try, because the Bath players were always like, oh, a big hit like that, we're going to win.
Game over.
And no one, Ben K pointed out in comms, no one folded round the corner, which meant that, I think it was Jonathan Joseph, had to step in too much because no one had come round the corner, which created what effectively became a 2-on-1. So the big hit, it actually... cost them, because all of the other Bath players thought, oh, we've done this, we don't need to.
Yeah, just on Bath, it's amazing, isn't it, the impact that... In fact, it's amazing across the league, the impact that the ex-Worcester lads have had on their respective teams. Like Ted Hill
is brilliant,
an absolute dominator.
Wait till Barbary's in that team as well.
Oh, if you ever get him fit, yeah.
So, Mills played for
Ted Hill, Underhill, Barbary. That's a pretty tidy sounding back row, that.
It is, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. It is. But, like, they've instantly made an impact. Hill, who's the centre, Ollie Lawrence.
Who wasn't playing because he's in the England squad.
Finn Smith at Northampton.
Finn Smith's made a hell of a difference.
Yeah.
You'd think, wouldn't you, if you put all these players together, they'd be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Then really, what went wrong? But, yeah, same with Wasps. I mean, not to the same extent, Ackerson has been good. It's amazing. Just a few extra. When this league goes down to 10 teams, if they redistribute those players again, it's going to be some stacked teams.
Mm. What was your other point on Friday night?
Great to see Beno Albano back.
Yes.
And some very handy scrummaging.
Yeah, he looked good.
I don't really know what's going on in this scrum, but it looked like he made a difference. Everyone in comms was talking like he made a difference.
Mm.
He has got massive hamstrings.
No, it was Healy and Ben Kay.
So the reason I ask that is because I've listened to Flats commentate on him before, and I don't know if he's just doing it for effect on TV, but he seems to really rate him.
Mm.
And that, generally speaking, is a sign that he's going to be good.
Well, he's very heavy and a very low centre of gravity. He's short and wide.
He's a big, short, wide boy.
Mm. Yeah.
Strong.
Very
big, strong.
Do you know who's remarkably short when you see him, but you don't think he's going to be that short? Is Biallo.
Oh, really?
So I was doing a tour around the Wasps changing rooms, and Biallo was warming up. I was like, is that Biallo? Because at the time he was like, he's Worcester, and then he went over to France and he came back to Wasps. And I thought he was going to be something like, I thought he was going to be absolutely enormous. I thought he was going to look like Marcellus Wallace from Pulp Fiction. But actually he's a lot shorter.
Interesting, because he's listed, Biallo is listed. These aren't always right. Do you know what he's listed at?
Height and weight, I'd say.
He's listed as 6'2".
He's not 6'2".
And 131 kg.
What?
Do I know?
That's like 21 stone, 20 stone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, maybe he doesn't look that tall because he's so big. But when I was watching him, he was just sort of getting ready and doing stretches in the change room. I was like, that's not.
His weight is, according to this, fluctuating. We have in one place 131. In another, his official Wasps profile was 120.
I can see him fluctuating.
He's listed at 145.
Wow.
Here. That can't be.
That's a range between 19 and 23 stones, yeah. Something like that.
Four stone bandwidth. Interesting.
Have you heard his rap?
Yeah, it's good.
He is good. Sounds bad.
Better than Corb's. Christopher Nuttall, thanks for your email, Chris. Contact headchasers@gmail.com. He says, evening, great pod, blah. I was at the Sale Sharks match on Friday evening, and due to a crash on the M60, the route took me back towards the Salford Stadium. I was waiting at the lights to turn up Liverpool Road, I saw Tim crossing the road after doing his shift at the match and looking more like Jason Donovan than Jason Donovan. I'm getting a lot of this at the minute. I thought I had to say something, but my mind was blank as to what to say, which would have been witty, original.
Jason!
And more importantly, is something that would have been noticed with at least a laugh. The lights turned green and round the corner I went. I had something to say and was going to say it. One problem, Tim had disappeared. With Tim being possibly the busiest man in media, the only logical conclusion is that he jumped into the shipping container and, like the Doctor Who TARDIS, it transported him to his next gig via a wormhole. No wonder he can travel the length and breadth of the country and always look immaculate. Great pod. Keep the work going. It's just I'll tell you my little secret.
Cocker Learjet parked at Barton Airport.
Yeah, exactly.
The Spirits of Cocker.
Obviously.
Yes.
No, do you know where I actually park when I go to the AJ Bell? Obviously, I can just show the BT pass and there's a space in the TV compound. I never park at the stadium. I park just on the roundabout.
Do you still do that?
As you get onto the M60, roundabout, there's a little a little graveyard.
I know the one.
And I just park there by the graveyard and it's a 10-15 minute walk. But means I get home in half an hour, an hour.
The best part of sale is mingling in corporate after the game. So I don't worry about getting home early. In fact, quite the opposite. If I got home early, I've failed in my mission, which is to mingle. I've not been for ages, actually. Ages.
After our pod last week as well, I was enjoying my final day in Centre Parks on the Monday, and a very nice chap came up and said hello from Widnes Rugby Club.
You were at Centre Parks? And how did he recognise, had he heard the podcast and knew you were there?
So I don't think so, based on our conversation. I don't think he'd listened because he wouldn't have commuted that morning.
No.
He would have just been on holiday. And it was like early in the morning, it was like maybe 10 a.m. in the morning.
And he recognised you? Straight up? That's cool.
Did he say who he was? A player?
So he coaches, I think his kids play and coaches age grade, but has been, because he was asking me about a few of the Sedgley boys who are from Widnes, the Rileys.
Yeah, that's so, right, they are, aren't they?
So
it feels like Widnes desperately want them back because they keep throwing them in Widnes shirts. They're like,
when someone said, "Oh, Phil, was there any of your family or anything there to witness this?"
Do it again for my wife.
So I was just trying to juggle Thomas and Hannah, who were both being hard work at the time, so sadly no.
Oh.
Only those two, and it wouldn't have meant anything.
This
to
week,
them.
I love Widnes. Mm. This week, I particularly love Widnes because they did over the top.
They
did.
Oh, so that takes pressure off you.
It does.
They've done you a favour,
and I knew.
All this talk of you, I want you to put this in context, right? When JB over the next few weeks celebrates that
you love
Didsbury Tok H have won their league.
No, we don't know that.
If you are to go on and win the league, JB will revel in this. I just want to put some context in. Didsbury Tok H are inside the M60 of Manchester, as we've already discussed, which has hundreds of thousands of people as a population to draw its players from, and literally millions of people in the hinterlands of Manchester, in the greater Manchester area. They are in a battle for the league title with a parish. The parish of Tarleton. Population 5,000.
Look, don't let that kid you, right? Tarleton is sort of right next door to Preston. That's where they draw their players from. They've got one hell of a team. Hell of a team. I guarantee that those players are not all just from Tarleton.
From the parish.
Yeah. They'll be fishing in deeper waters than that. Believe me. Tarleton or the grand old club of Liverpool St Helens. So those are the three teams in the mix. After that, it's the rugby hotbed of Warrington. And then it'll be Widnes.
Widnes have done you a big favour there.
Haven't they just? Thank you, boys.
I was chatting to someone today who suggested that Broughton Park might be getting relegated.
Yeah.
They are gone. They're done.
They got battered again yesterday.
You read their teams week in, week out, and it's not even funny.
You will be leapfrogging them. They go down as you go up.
We don't know what's going to happen. We're going to play our best. We'll take each game as it comes.
All I will say is on the under-15s, we have our training on a Wednesday night, one night a week, but they wanted to do a little bit extra of cup preparation, so they said, can we do a session on Thursday? Fine. The only space we could get was on the first team pitch with the first team, and all I can say is
under-15s would have won.
The under-15s would have given them a good game.
Yeah.
It's not good times at Broughton Park.
It's not.
That's not ideal.
It must be hard to motivate your boys to play to want to get into that first team. You should show them.
No, we're bringing through a whole generation.
Why don't you show them what it is to play in black and amber?
No.
Really motivate them.
No.
I mean, your scrum half is going to come to us, right?
Is he?
Of course he is.
He put in a monstrous hit today, actually.
Did he?
Absolutely massive.
No, I'm looking forward to coaching once he becomes a man. I reckon,
Just on the Premiership and tight games, we said Bath probably would have gone back thinking we can be proud of that, but gutted we lost the chance. Bristol the same at Saracens.
Oh.
They were winning for most of the game.
Do you know what Pat Lamb said at the end of the game?
No, I've not seen it.
Unsurprisingly. So,
a lot of love?
No. So a lot of managers try to make the story about them to take pressure off their players. Pat Lamb likes to make the story about his players to take pressure off him. classic Pat Lamb territory, this. Basically blamed it on not kicking kicking at the wrong time. Which, I mean, yeah, maybe. But what about all the other mistakes that he made? So, yeah, I don't know. Pat Lamb being Pat Lamb, blaming people and not himself. But presumably, he would have known that this was going to happen. So, I don't know what his gripe was.
He always knows.
He knows, yeah.
And this was, when I looked at the team sheets, this is a much stronger Bristol team than it is Saracens team. As in, Saracens are missing 8 players to England. Bristol, are they missing anyone? They had most players, they had a lot of money on it. They're missing Piatow. They're missing the two props, actually.
Yeah, Piatow, Genge and Sinclair.
I mean, ultimately, I just don't think Bristol are very good.
Mm.
I know people talk about the money, but the money doesn't count. You know, you have to have that money spread amongst your squad. You've got to build in a certain way. And one of the reasons I don't think Bristol are good is because they used to be, when they first came up, I wonder if something's changed fundamentally with how Pat Lamb coaches and thinks about rugby. Because when they came up, they had a philosophy and a way of playing. And I think they were the best team with their outside shape. So their outside shape was always absolutely superb. And for whatever reason it is, that has disappeared now. You don't see Bristol attacking in that kind of way. I don't know why. And so they've gone from this team who do their jobs really nicely, and that's why it all fitted together so well, to a team that just relies on pure talent. So if Piatow's not available, or Radranda's not available, or two props, we're just talking about the talent that they don't have.
Well, they nearly beat Saracens at Saracens.
But that's my point about the Premiership. You've got to win. Everyone can nearly win in the Premiership. You've got to win. That's why Saracens are great.
It's really hard to win away.
Yeah, but Saracens are great.
Yeah. They do have some mega talent, but I think there is something in the way that they've set the team up. We've spoke about this loads of times, so I won't go into it in much detail. But just putting so much money into a handful of players, it creates, even if you think the rest of the players are good, it's going to create the haves and the have-nots. It creates the discrepancy.
Am I reading this right? Saracen started with Robin Hislop, Christian Judge and Andrew Kitchener. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? They've basically taken...
What was his name? Dan, the hooker.
Theo Dan.
So that's amazing. I mean, talk about the dispossessed players ending up, you know, making an impact. That's astounding.
Yep.
I would just love to know what the plan is at Bristol. I think they've lost their way completely. I really think they've lost their way. They've lost their identity. They've lost what they do.
They've got to do a rebuild. Because there's talk of Radranda leaving next season.
Where's he going to go?
France, presumably.
Yeah, but there was a club named, wasn't there? Is it Bordeaux again? That's Bordeaux. I don't know.
Anyone would have him.
I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't.
Why would you have him?
Did you see the try he scored this weekend?
Yeah, every now and again he scores a nice try and people go wild for it. Why don't people talk about Max Ojomo in the same way? I mean, Max Ojomo occasionally does some just incredible things, but they don't call him Semi Radranda. Because we're very balanced when it comes to... I mean, I think he's as good. I do think he's as good, actually. I actually think about it. They're probably broadly similar. But Semi, because he's got the name, it was like, oh, brilliant player. Infrequently performs. And when he doesn't perform, but everyone's just, oh, he's still carrying an injury. Just not himself. Always got an excuse. Much like Pat Lamb.
Leon.
Huh?
Leon.
Ah, interesting.
I do like their fullback, by the way.
The one who scored 2 tries.
Demortier. He's probably going to start for France in the Six Nations.
Oh, Leon's fullback. Are you talking about Richard Lane? Or?
I think he's going to start. Because I was looking at... We can talk about this on the Six Nations pod. But Fabien Galthié sent about a dozen players back to play for their clubs this weekend.
Mm.
And I thought Mathys Lebel was going to be starting for France on the wing.
Nope.
But he's been sent back to Toulouse. And De Mortier has been retained.
Mm. Is Jaminet in the squad? Or Ramos?
Ramos will be the Ramos will be the starting fullback. Penno will be on one wing. And the other wing could be this lad.
Mm.
He looks really good.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Exeter-Gloucester is the only other game we haven't spoken about, really. We mentioned it. So 24-17 to
very good
Exeter.
Win for Exeter, because yeah, I thought Gloucester would smash them.
Yeah, it's a good win.
Gloucester are the least affected by international call-ups.
Mm. Yeah, but they
have
do
got a
have
few injuries as well.
They do have injuries, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, the Premiership is about injuries. Deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought they would, because, well, I really rate Gloucester. I think they're a very good outfit. So, yeah, for Exeter to actually... Exeter to win this with all the trials and tribulations going on there, I think is very, very impressive.
Good win. All the tries were scored in the first half. 5 tries in the first half, none in the second half.
Yeah.
Which is slightly disappointing, but still a very good win.
Do you think... Right, there's 2 things I want to say. So first thing is, do you think Josh Hodge is making a big enough name for himself for them to say, look, Stuart Hogg, you can go?
Probably, yeah. And Stuart Hogg going. It's either they are jettisoning all their players to keep a couple of them, and Hogg and
Woodburn
Johnny Gray.
Has signed an extension.
Has he? Yep. Good, because Woodburn, I think, is very important. Yeah, because he does so much hard work. But yeah, either they're jettisoning...
And he's great for selling their charity, or even not charity... underwear-based calendars as well. He's essential for that.
Essential.
So it's either they're jettisoning a lot of players in order to keep a few very talented ones, or they are saying, no, as soon as it's not worth it and we've got a young guy coming through, we'll get rid of them. Yeah. So the likes of Ewers and Jack Noel and the Simmons boys, as soon as the equation doesn't quite add up, they've been offered more money in France than they believe they're worth, and they've got some talent behind it, they'll go. And I suspect that Hogg would be one of those who
I think so.
They could let go.
Presumably free up the marquee space.
Mm-hmm.
Do something very special with, who knows. So
those hair, that hair and those teeth don't pay from, you know, they're not cheap.
Right, that hair. Let's talk about the hair a second, okay? So
Hodge's hair or
Hogg's hair. Hogg's and not hair. Hogg's hair, I'm not making this personal to Hogg. Just in general. So, hair transplants in sport are getting fairly common now.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Rooney had one.
Mm-hmm. At least one.
The description of Wayne Rooney's hair transplant when it was first done, the first attempt at it, it was dreadful. Liam Gallagher described it as, described Wayne Rooney as looking like a balloon. His head looks like a balloon with a Weetabix on top.
Nice.
Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
Right, so you can get busted for PEDs, which is effectively testosterone.
Or
there's lots of things.
Steroids, human growth hormone.
That's all effectively testosterone, right?
Yeah.
What's the one that they use in the Tour de France?
EPO.
EPO, that's what one.
Yeah. Now, to get a hair transplant, you're sort of encouraged to do the opposite. Are you aware of this?
No.
So you're meant to have... And I can't say it now. Androgen blockers, basically.
Yeah, to block the testosterone.
To stop your hair falling out.
To stop you producing it.
Yeah, right. So how the hell does this stack up with being a professional rugby player or a professional sportsman in general?
I don't know. Are there not multiple different types of...
I've got no idea. It doesn't sound...
So I wasn't even aware of that, but yeah.
Because there are ones where they, like, put them in just like...
And then they'd fall out again if you don't have. So
right?
If you read about hair transplants,
are you thinking about having one?
I'm not actually. I'm quite happy growing old. But someone mentioned to me about you need to take like testosterone blockers or some such thing. Maybe it's not that aggressive. I thought, what a trade off. Like, would I rather have weedy little arms and no hair? Would I rather be the Rock or? Give me someone with hair with weedy arms.
Rishi Sunak.
Yeah, Rishi Sunak or The Rock. Gareth, the guy who... The famous choir guy. Do you remember him?
The famous choir guy.
The guy who did like the BBC choir things. And
Davis. Alan Jones.
It's Alan Jones?
Yeah. Sang the snowman, yeah.
Oh, why do I think his name's Gareth? Very, very skinny guy. Nice hair, bow tie. Like, do I want to be him or The Rock? It doesn't really...
Do you remember... Because I'm just looking for it on YouTube and you can't find it, but the earliest advanced hair studio advert had... Do you remember what rugby player it had on it?
Of course Healy. I remember.
Yes, Austin Healy.
And subsequent players? Matt Dawson do one?
Did he? Don't know.
Shane Warne definitely did.
But you cannot find, and I should mention this to Austin actually sometime, but his advanced hair studio advert is not online. You cannot find it online, and it's hilarious.
He's had a super injunction.
Yeah,
I think he might have done, because it's quite embarrassing for Oz, because it's not a great performance on his part, but it's very funny. Oh, no.
And the old jingle was advanced hair.
There's no anything else to talk about Premiership, or shall we get into not only the Six Nations but also a little quiz?
Yeah, let's keep that contained in a Six Nations podcast. We'll just make it nice and easy for you to find the bits of rugby you want or don't want, as the case may be. JB won't be remotely interested in the Six Nations one, for example, but
not overly.
No, any more on this?
Nope, good.
All right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.